position, leaving Trader to act as rear guard, covering them against a sudden sneak attack from behind. The woman limped behind Ryan, occasionally aiming the long Mossberg at doors as she passed them.
Bang! You're dead, Whitecoat! Eat lead!
If you don't shut him up, O'Mara, then I'll fucking stop him myself.
O'Mara? He was a machine gunner on Warwag 1, wasn't he?
So?
So, my name's Ryan Carter, not O'Mara.
Trader rubbed his forehead hard with the back of his left hand.
Of course it is, Ryan. I don't know what happens sometimes. It's like my brain makes a malfunction connection and the wrong words slip out of my mouth. It's not that I really thought you were O'Mara, you know?
Sure. I understand.
Anyway, it doesn't make a spit of difference to what I said. Shut up this two-headed freak, or I do it. Permanent-like.
Ryan wasn't in the mood to argue. He hoped that the failed experiment called Edna Evangelina might be able to give them information about what the Whitecoats planned to do with Christy, but they were totally ignorant, not even seeming to have much idea of what had really happened to them. They had unknowingly chosen the same route, in reverse, that Mildred had taken on her ill-fated wreck, walking along the little-used side corridor that paralleled the main central passage of the wing.
Never been down here.
I have.
I would like to know how you came down here without me.
Ryan turned around, making the two heads shrink from him, the two pairs of eyes blinking anxiously.
Not one more sound. There's more Whitecoats around us now than there are wasps in a nest. If they hear us, then you'll go back to the laboratories for lots and lots more experiments. And they'll try to kill us as well. Understand?
Yes!
One more single sound, and I'll cut the throat of which of you makes that sound. And the other one I'll have complete and total control.
It won't be me who loses, sister.
Well, it won't be me either. You can count on that.
We must be close to the main atrium now.
Trader and Ryan stopped at an intersection of the corridors. Edna Evangelina waited patiently and silently behind them.
Yeah. Trouble is, we don't know where Christy is. Or where the others are being kept.
Probably in our rooms in the other wing. That'd make sense.
And Christy?
More likely to be in this wing, I guess. We could do with a Whitecoat prisoner. Make him talk to us.
We might just get us a prisoner real soon.
Or get to be a prisoner.
Trader patted Ryan on the shoulder.
It's just like the good old days, isn't it?
Just to their left was a set of double doors. Ryan heard nothing from behind them, so he pushed them boldly open. He let the gaping muzzle of the Sig Sauer precede him into the room. The room was empty. It had a row of basins and faucets along one side, with hooks for clothes on the wall. Other than that, it was completely bare. Ryan beckoned the others in, moving quickly to the far end, where a wide single door stood half open. They moved into an operating theater, fully equipped with tables, lights, and several sets of instruments glinting hygienically from racks on the wall.
This room is sparkling. Looks like it hasn't been touched in 100 years.
I've been here before.
Yes. I remember the lights in the air and the shining knives on the wall.
Sharp, pretty knives.
Ryan figured another set of double doors at the far end of the room had to open onto the busy main corridor of the wing. It took him only a moment to check that those doors were locked.
Wait in here. I'll go back and wreck who's coming this way.
Right.
Ryan went through the room with the wash basins and flattened himself against the wall by the entrance. He reached out with his left hand and very slowly pushed open one of the double doors, squinting through the narrow gap into the corridor. Someone was approaching, with a tapping that reminded Ryan of the ferrule of Doc's sword stick. Then they suddenly came into sight, the slight figure of Ladro Buford limping on his cane, cloak hunched around his shoulders. With him were two of the sec men.
Buford, in here!
Ryan closed the doors and moved to stand behind one. The two guards charged in, Buford at their heels. Neither of them spotted Ryan behind the open door. He kept all three men covered with the automatic blaster as he shut the doors with his heel. The three men turned at the sound.
Morning. Best put those big shiny blasters down on the floor, slow and careful.
Buford's glasses nearly fell off his narrow beaky nose. He was shaking so much.
Cotter, it's really you. How can you be alive?
I live a good clean life, go to bed early, and get up with the sun.
Is Thea with you?
No. We parted ways recently.
What about the rest of the patrol?
Traitors with me. The rest of the Sekmen sort of headed for the exit, pursued by a bear.
Oh. Oh dear, we didn't know.
Right. So, how is everyone?
Oh, they're fine. No need for the blaster, Cawdor. Come along with us and you can meet your friends.
Sounds good.
Ryan waved his gun at the Sekmen.
You two stand still for a while. Movement makes me nervous. When I get nervous, my fingers become sort of tense.
Ladro Buford was sweating so much that Ryan could see clear beads trickling down the inside of the smeared lenses of his glasses.
Is there just you and Trader here? You haven't met with anyone else.
We met a patrol. They tried to take us in. We took them out.
Oh, no.
And then we broke in and met two more of your guards.
Where?
Trader had appeared unseen in the doorway behind the three men.
By your freaks' prison.
Freaks? Prison? What in the name of science are you talking about?
Go ahead into the operating room, and we'll talk a little more.
Trader moved aside, and Ryan directed the three into the next room.
What happened to the two guards by the quarters for the unsuccessful experiments?
They were unsuccessful at staying alive.
Look, I don't know what you heard or saw, but it's all a total lie. We never did anyone any harm. We wouldn't have hurt you or your companions. We've never hurt a fly.
Liar.
Oh!
Buford sagged at the unexpected sight of the two-headed mutated woman. He dropped his stick and would have slumped straight to the floor if one of the Sekmen hadn't grabbed him by an arm and held him upright. The guard looked at Trader.
This doesn't have anything to do with the Vale security forces. The scientists do all the experiments. Don't blame us.
Edna Evangelina stood by the wall, her hands behind her. Both heads had spots of angry color at the cheekbones, staring intently at the semi-conscious Buford. Ryan turned to the set guard holding Buford.
Lay Buford on that operating table. Traitor, fix the straps to his ankles and wrists. Make them good and tight. Then buckle that inflatable gag in place. We don't want him making a load of noise.
Listen, One-Eye.
What?
Beyond that outer door, there's the whole powerful world of the Institute going on. There must be at least 20 or 30 of our friends within calling distance. You don't dare squeeze the trigger on either of your blasters. You'll be signing your own death warrants if you do.
So what? We might die tomorrow anyway. But you'll die right here and now.
Oh, I know you dumb fucks from the Outlands. You value your own skins too much to do something that stupid. I'm walking out right now.
The Sekman turned to his comrade. Ryan quickly holstered the Sig Sauer and drew the 18-inch Panga. Trader dropped the Armalite to the tiles, reaching for his own slim-bladed knife. But both of them were way too slow. The perfectly honed scalpel swung toward the throat of the leading Sekman, held in the strong right hand of Edna Evangelina. The man staggered away, blood pulsing from the opened artery, spraying ceiling high, the fountain weakening as the crimson flood slowed. He dropped to his knees, then slid onto his face, the gash leaking the last drops of blood. The surviving guard drew his own knife, which looked like an old military bayonet. Turning, he stabbed upward, catching the dominant head squarely under the chin, driving the blade home before Ryan or Trader could do anything to stop him. Trader stabbed the Sekman through the heart from behind.
Too slow to save, but goddamn well in time to avenge.
Trader kneeled to check if his victim was truly dead. He wiped his knife clean on the man's pants. Ryan stepped immediately to the side of the wounded woman, aware at a first glance that all was done for her, for them. The knife had done its work too well, and there was no possibility of checking the flow of blood. Ryan helped her to lie down, away from the lake of crimson at the center of the floor that was already seeping into a network of strategically placed drains. The eyes were closing on the dominant head, the mouth open, a tiny thread of blood inching between the parted lips. The other head was turning, trying to see its sister.
Are you all right? We did it, sister. We did it.
I'm real sorry, but I don't think she's gonna make it.
Don't cry for me, sister. I'm not. Truly. I'll wait for you. Around the next turning, sister.
Yes.
The eyes on the dominant head went still. fixed eternally on the bright lights above.